You're listening to Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim! Boom! That's a bad outfit! Boom!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me! My turn! Am I the meanest?
Show
down. Am I the prettiest?
Show down.
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this town?
Show down.
Well, who am I?
Show down.
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, Geeksters, I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Welcome back, Geeksters. Once again, we're here at the Malted Meeple in Hudson, Ohio for the Meeplecast. We're going to be talking all things Star Wars. This is your spoiler alert now. Cameron, this is your spoiler alert now. If you've not seen the movie, we're going to spoil everything.
Hey, that guy over there in the corner in the purple shirt, yeah, you. Yeah, spoiler alert.
So you have been warned. We're not going to bring it up anymore. But first, before we get to that, we got some regular stuff that we got to talk about. We are here welcoming the entire crew here with us again. Vicky and Dawn are here with us. We have Bart and Vernon and Cameron and Nate and Carrington. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Droid, please.
Wow.
I want that T-shirt.
You know it's only a matter of time.
It's only a matter of time.
Someone's got it on Etsy.
If not, Woot.com has some good ones. Also, Vicky saw an awesome one that I should have bought, right after Christmas. It was Baymax. It looked like he was reaching out for the cat, but it's BB-8.
Yep.
That would have been sweet.
Yeah.
They had that on but it was like freaking $25 for a T-shirt.
But you know what? I think you'll get $25 enjoyment out of a T-shirt.
Man, most T-shirts when you go around, it's usually like $20.
Exactly. Yeah. Are you saying you're anti-small business? We have it, folks.
No, he's just anti-small.
Yes. $15.
Sign me up. Plus $7 shipping because it's T-Public.
That's right.
So it's $20 though.
For $21, you can have a Droid Please T-shirt.
It's got BB-8 on it.
You got BB-8?
Right. You're not an American if you don't.
wait, is it made in the USA?
Do you want me to take it there?
No, we don't need to go there yet.
No preaching on
I have Photoshop. I can just make that picture and go, hey, put this on this shirt for me. Like, I have Photoshop. I can do whatever I want.
That's true.
Good point. Yeah. So, Kylan and Dawn, what you guys do for... How was your Christmas?
It was low-key.
Low-key and good.
Low-key and good.
Nice and relaxed.
Dawn's mom came down from Canada. And we
Actually, Dawn's mom's with us. Hi!
Hi!
My mom has no idea what's going on.
You got in there somewhere.
Okay? My mom does not do technology. She does not do the internet. Well, she has no idea what's going on.
This is basically a radio show that you listen to anytime you want.
Oh, okay.
So
what we did.
Well, we went out to my sister's house and hung out. We played Crap or Slap, which is basically it's the PG version of Cards Against Humanity.
Ah, okay.
Souls.
Imagine that.
Why would you want that?
When you're playing with younger teenagers and kids in the room.
That's like diet.
They
gotta
learn
something.
Still embarrassed by my mom. Yeah, my mom was still embarrassed by some of the stuff. So it was good.
You know, I'm like, no, it's gotta be Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah,
I just want to say something. Feel so bad about it. I got caught.
Wasn't
my mom,
that
as
dirty
as
like Sex and Elevator or something?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, stuff like one of the situations was you walk in on your parents wrestling in the bedroom.
It sounds so Victorian.
Yeah.
I got the vapors. Hold on. Oh, my.
So,
does it have the word canoodling in it?
That's what she said.
Did you talk about adult toys?
Oh, dear.
Oh.
Well, then.
That's definitely like PG-13.
Yes.
Like BB-8 because it costs much more.
There are at least three versions of Cards Against Humanity that have three different levels. You got Apples to Apples, which is a kid's version of Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah.
This is your mid-level Cards Against Humanity as you're growing. Yeah. And then once you become an adult, you get the full thing.
And you know what? I played Cards Against Humanity with people that I was pretty sure were not really old enough to play, and they kind of came up with some really good combinations. I'm like, okay, I had to filter on, but all right then.
I got it in my car.
But
that will be an After Dark episode. We'll play Cards Against Humanity.
Don't be mad at Uncle Kylan just being honest. So, you
ever bring my blank cards?
Kylan, the first time I ever played Cards Against Humanity, I was playing with a group of friends, which included my little sister. So right there, that was the most awkward game of Cards Against Humanity ever.
Did she embarrass you?
Yes.
Of course.
Did you get the biggest, blackest card is the question.
Unfortunately, I did not.
I was going to say, if you did, I'm like...
We played one time where I happened to get that card, and I also got the card that said Heather Hop. And you had to pull something out of...
And then she puts the two together.
I kind of won the entire game.
And then everybody looked. I'm not sitting there. Everybody looked at me because it. Yeah, and I was like, "Thank you."
Because you're married.
Yeah, married. Because we're married. Yes. Yeah, that's the reason why. Yes. Just ain't no stay cool school kids.
So did anything crazy happen to you guys on Christmas?
Oh, I had a Christmas party, so that should tell you everything.
So,
was it a co-ed party?
No, it was friend-miss party.
Ah.
When our friends came together.
I'm like, did you win the Christmas party like you won Con on Cop?
No, not like that. That was my one thing out of the year I can never, ever achieve again.
No, it's coming around again.
For this year.
Yeah, that was this year.
Okay. We got next year.
You got three more days. I believe in you.
Oh, yeah, it's New Year's.
Oh, my God. Hey, are you going to the party? The one we're all going to?
I'm torn between my friends want me to go one with them. I haven't been to one.
I'm bringing spiced caramel apple drink. It's vodka and rum.
You have my attention. No. You have my attention.
You don't know that.
I think he does.
You don't know. How old am I?
I know how old you are. You're 20.
Damn it.
On air. There you go.
Cameron. On air. Reported.
Cameron's gonna have a sip, and then like 30 minutes later, he's gonna be whooping and neighing down the middle of the street.
Hat off. Just put it in there.
Should we warn this as a metro school across the street?
Oh.
Okay. Well, let's get a little more. We got a little bit of Geekwatch 1 news as we get going, guys. I just want to let everybody know, anybody who's a cryptid fan, a fan of Bigfoot or anything like that, we're going to have on our show in February Seth Breedlove from the Fast What podcast and Small Town Monsters movies. So make sure to listen in on that. If you have any questions, look him up. If you have any questions, send him in. We can ask Seth when he's on. He's actually got a Kickstarter starting in February for his next Small Town Monsters movie, which is going to be the Boggy Creek Monster, or the Monster of Boggy Creek down in Arkansas. So he's doing the Kickstarter so he can go down and film the movie.
Okay.
Sweet.
He's got The Beast of Whitehall coming out in April.
Alright.
So.
Cool.
That's what's going on there. Also, we're going to make... This is our first major announcement for this, that January 25th is going to be our Meeplecast for January. But we are also going to have the Geekwatch 1 first anniversary blowout spectacular. So that's our first anniversary. We've actually made it a year, Kylan.
Made it a year. Well, you know, 12 months ago, we were just talking.
You know how many people pod fade before they get even halfway to here?
Well, I know one person for sure that restarted their podcast, made what, three or four,
and that's it.
And that was it. And that happens a lot, you know.
So,
we got a good group here, and we've grown. I mean, it started off just the four of us.
Yeah.
At once a month.
Four of us once a month, and then the four of us every 2 weeks, and then next to dinner. All within a month, we went to a week, and we grew by.
And then
three
we started
people.
Vlogs, and then we started bringing more people in.
And then we brought in the Meeple.
This is becoming, it is now, and it has been what I was hoping this would be, that Geek Watch 1 is not just the four of us.
No.
When we started the show, I said since the beginning that I wanted anybody who's a listener to feel like they're part of the show with us.
Right.
They're part of the family.
Yeah.
Well, our family has grown, and it has grown to include Carrington and Jim and Meeplewood, Meeplewood. Meeple and Ravenwood. And Nate's down here with us on the Meeplecast and stuff.
Yeah.
Our family is growing and keep growing. I want it to be huge.
And no one had to get pregnant.
Not yet. As far as we know, we have not caused any pregnancies yet.
Oh, if we have, anyone out there, let us know.
It's the kilts. Hey, they're wearing kilts, guys.
You know what? That is our fault.
You know what? I would take that. I think that I would wear that as a badge of honor.
Are you going to pay about that?
Are you going
to
pay that monthly bill? That you're
look, just because somebody
love to listen to the sweet bass sound of my voice,
ain't my fault.
Fault. You can behave.
Constantly listening to Geek Watch 1 may cause pregnancy.
See, you've been warned.
But please don't hit it and quit it. That's not safe. that's not safe.
So that's January 25th, Geeksters. Come on out, have a good time with us, and hang out. That's all we
have. Cameron, I'm talking to you. Don't hit it and quit it. Okay?
He is the kid of the group. Okay, next up we have a little bit of oddball kind of the cop Meeple news. I got Meeple on the brain.
Oh, sorry, it's Meeple.
Hey, it's fine with me.
But we have Oddball Con on the Cob. Remember, the 4th of July and December sale is still going on at, what's the website?
You can get to it all through oddmall.info or lowteak.com.
So anything that Andy Hop makes, anything of all of his games, all of his artwork, it's all on sale at the 4th of July and December sale. I believe a lot of it is up to 50% off, if not more.
And I think a lot of it's free shipping. And also, for the Oddmall portion, I believe he's giving a discount on booths.
I believe he is.
Yes.
And that. So, but it's 4th of July and December. December is not much longer.
Seriously, guys, if you're looking for something unique that you want to give to someone, or if you want to treat yourself, you want something that does not look like something that everybody else has, something that is unique. And I'm not just saying this because he's like one of my best friends. I'm saying this because, honestly, like when I first met him, like, his artwork, I'm looking like, oh man, that's just so cool. And I've watched this guy work, and it's just amazing watching the process and just seeing the creativity just flow out of him. And if you have the opportunity to get some of his work and make a piece of this your own, do it. Seriously.
So guys, that's the 4th of July and December sale. At you can go through oddmall.info/Ohio. That'll get you to the Oddball site, and from there it has links to everywhere else that you can find Andy Hop.
Right.
Also, the Oddball Expedition Elsewhere is coming up on February 13th and 14th. Like we said, booths are still on sale. He has sales going right now. I believe it's a buy one booth, get one half off or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I believe he's doing it that
so
way.
And,
yeah, so.
And for the February show, the booths are only $60 to $80, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the 2-day show. So if you make anything geeky or you want a booth, get a hold of Andy or Crystal. They'll get you all the information from that.
And as a bonus, Geek Watch 1 will be there. Kyle and Ken, Vicky and Don, we're all going to be there. So, you know what? Get a booth and make some money. Come by, hang out with us. We'll interview you and have you on the show, too.
And we'll definitely... Now, remember, what was the promise you said about side hugs for Con of the Cob? There was some big one you made for that.
Every single person gets a side hug.
If we do what something. Do you remember?
I can't remember.
We have it on recording.
If we sold, I mean, that's it. We had to sell, like, it was some insane number, but it was going to be a side hug from a bald-headed black man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, but, what? Oddball, if you guys, even if you don't have a booth, if you have a booth, you'll get double the hugs. But we do not have any problem giving free hugs if you come see us at our booth at Oddball.
That's true.
Come to Oddball, hang out, check me out, and get a hug from Geek Watch 1.
That's right. You get a hug
from
Geek Watch
1. One big hug.
That's right.
Actually,
Vernon will hug anybody.
I'm a hugger.
Bring it all in. Working on curls, and the guns will be back in town come from February. Ladies, bring your tickets. Time for the gun show.
Bang, bang, bang. Okay, well, let's move on to Carrington. Now that you're here with us, what's going on in the Malted Meeple in Ravenwood Castle?
So we got a whole bunch of cool murder mysteries and whatnot going on at Ravenwood Castle, but one of the big things I wanted to talk about was some of the stuff that's happening right here at the Malted Meeple.
Cool.
So we're going to, in January, be starting the Multi-Meeple Madness Challenge for 2016.
Okay.
So it's $10 to enter, and you have to play a bunch of games, drink a bunch of milkshakes, you know, do the normal stuff that you would do when you would come to the Malted Meeple. And at the end of the year, if you've completed the challenge, you'll be given a Malted Meeple Madness 2016 fleece jacket. It's pretty sweet. So, you know, $10 to enter.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll have to get the details for this.
Yeah.
Well, here's the details right here. So, okay. You have to play all of our games of the month, which there will be 12. The game of the month for January will be Cash and Guns, so you can start off with that.
I've heard that one's actually a fun one to play, too.
It's a blast. Most of the games that I chose...
Wait. You're saying a Cash and Guns game is a blast?
It's a blast.
That's
what you did there.
Sorry.
Clever.
The punster caught me. Also, drink each of our milkshakes of the month. So the milkshake of the month for January, since we already said spoilers, right? It will be eggnog. Milkshake of the month for next month.
That's interesting that you're doing it on a non-holiday month, really.
It was one of the December milkshake. That will be eggnog.
Okay.
And then the drink 12 of the Meeple favorite milkshakes and... out throughout the year. You got 365 days to do it.
Well, that's easy for us. We're here once a month anyway.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, and it's super easy. Another couple things we're doing. We got new shakes for next month. We got oatmeal cookie, blueberry muffin, which I think some people got to try some of those, right?
And I'm doing the butterscotch right now. It's amazing.
Yeah, butterscotch is definitely my favorite as well. And for New Year's, we're doing the meeple drop, which is going to be... kind of our own new tradition we're starting here.
Cool.
And that will be from 5 to 7 will be the family edition. We're doing two of them. So, you know, the little kids can get the noisemakers and have some fun, play some games, stuff like that.
Right.
And then from 8 to 12 will be the real deal. Drop the meeple down once per hour and then hand out, you know, necklaces and party hats and noisemakers and ring in the new year meeple style.
Cool. So,
those are the new things that are going on at the meeple here.
Awesome. So that's the Meeple news. I'm just going down my list, make sure we hit everything as we go. I think that's most of the housekeeping stuff. We have some actual regular news articles we want to hit to before we get to the Meeple Awakens.
Yeah.
That's an awesome name.
Yeah, but I believe we may have used that on an episode already.
I think we did.
Not the Meeple Awakens.
Yes.
We did?
Yeah. When we talked about the trailer, I believe.
The Meeple Awakens.
No, that was something else awakening. I don't know.
No, I'm pretty sure it was
the Meeple Awakens. Yeah, because I think
I'm the one who makes up the titles, trust me.
Oh.
That's why you're so clever.
So, but, Kylan, you had a news story you wanted to talk about. Because Vicky and I haven't caught up on the show yet, but you wanted to talk about the librarians.
Yeah, okay. I've been remiss in this, because I love the movies, and I'm loving the series, and it's been confirmed that we're getting a third season of this.
Woo!
I am so excited, but last night being the 27th? Yeah, the 27th of December was the season finale for Librarians.
Season 2.
Amazing. Had some really great nods to notable time travelers. And I'm still trying to figure this out. A blue box.
And it was in the
library.
Time machine.
Where?
Okay.
They first came in and they were looking under all the sheets.
I follow the DeLorean.
It was before the DeLorean.
Okay. The one with the red head.
The red head. She lifted one of the sheets and there was a blue box and you could see the sign.
And as it closes, you see the police sign.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm like, no.
So now we're trying to figure out.
I'm trying to like how
we got the.
How did the TARDIS? No, or like actually, more, when did the TARDIS?
Yeah, when did it end up?
Because timey-wimey and all that stuff, but yeah, so.
But Finn claims all of those time machines have been taken apart so they're not usable. Things have been removed. Remember, because he had to put the thing together for them to use that one. That
right. So there's a librarian somewhere who understood Gallifreyan technology enough.
Hey, how do we know that the doctor wasn't a librarian at some point?
There you go. Yeah. See?
Oh.
The doctor didn't.
You hadn't even thought of that one, had you?
The doctor did go to several libraries on Gallifrey. I've listened
That's
to a couple
right.
of those adventures.
That's right.
Who's to say that?
There's a major adventure in a library, for goodness sake.
That's true.
Is the library.
That's true.
So how do you know that? So how do you know that Earth is the only place that has the organization of the librarians?
There are so many things that
can
come out of
this. See, and you're about to throw a whole multiverse thing into the library, and it could happen, but
they've got their own multiverse.
It has happened. That's
and
true.
The last season.
Yeah, it did, didn't it?
What about the little blue guy?
This
whole season's been really cool, though. It's all literary monsters and villains, and one of the ones running through the whole season is Moriarty, so I think it's cool, because sometimes he works with them, sometimes he works against them.
And they made me like Moriarty, and not normally. Normally, I consistently hate Moriarty, but this version of Moriarty, I'm like...
This was the original Moriarty.
Yeah,
and this is the way he was written to begin with.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm like, okay, you know what? You're kind of a jerk. But I kind of like you, and I don't like that. You know,
they had one really cool episode that was a video game.
The video game one that it seemed like it was almost more of a Groundhog Day kind of thing until they realized that they hit a save point.
And that's why they kept going back to it every time they tried to get out of this building. Then they would end up through this door again when someone died, and then one guy realized it was a save point, and he was the one who had to take them along and figure out point by point how to get to the next save point, and then ultimately finish the game
right.
And destroy what was going on. So that was a really cool episode.
Which, actually, when you think about it, that was the same week as the Doctor Who episode where he kept dying, and he kept punching, and he kept coming back, which, hold on, whoa.
You're looking for parallels. I don't think
there. I didn't know that parallel was there. I don't care what anybody says. But anyway,
But if you've only seen the movies of The Librarian, which there's three movies, right?
Three movies, yeah.
If you've only seen the movie, you have to try and catch the show because it's slightly different. It has the same feel overall, but like we said earlier before recording, that it doesn't have the Indiana Jones feel so much.
Yeah.
But it still has the adventure. They do
a good job of merging the two, showing how the movies let off and the show begins.
Yeah,
right.
And you still have Noah Wiley showing up. He's not the focus of all the episodes, but he does still show up because he's still kind of head librarian.
Yeah.
Over the librarian movies.
Well, that Aliens show, I think, is canceled now, so he might be on more often.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they didn't cancel it, but they came to the end of the run.
Yeah.
And I'd be honest with you, I believe that the librarian, Flynn Carson is such a cult. I think it holds a close place in his heart. And I think he really enjoyed playing the character. And for the longest time, TNT had toyed with a librarian series, and for whatever reason, they never got that. But we get this, which I feel like is better, because instead of one personality, you get three different approaches to one problem. Actually, five approaches to one problem.
Five approaches, yeah.
Which, and I like that. And John Larroquette is amazing. And every one of those actors is believable in being someone who is probably the smartest person in the room. You know, you kind of can see that with each character, because there's certain people, especially certain actors, that you're not sure if they even worked their way out of a plastic bag. I'm just saying.
Certain actors?
Oh, I'm not even going to go into that.
That's kind of like what I noticed. We've only seen the first season, and we saw the movies.
Right.
But the one thing I thought was cool was Flynn Carson is the librarian. He's all around. He has all of it.
Yeah.
But each of these other ones is like one section of him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Each of them have what their one job is to do, right. Which makes it formulaic, but it's still a good way, a good story.
But then actually they develop them even... You wait till the second season, they develop that even more.
Well, you can see why none of them were picked as librarian by themselves.
Right.
Right, yeah.
But when you got all of them together, they make up where the librarian would be.
Right. Yes.
And I have to say one thing about the season finale... And I won't give away the spoiler, but there's a certain character that comes back at the very, very end that made me so very happy.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. I was. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
We can move on now.
So I try. I didn't want to spoil. I'm hoping we didn't ruin it for anybody who hasn't seen it yet. But that's a spoiler-free fanboy, fangirl. Review of the season finale.
Well, I'm still waiting for the Dinosaur Time Traveler somewhere along the line.
Yeah, oh yeah,
that was awesome. The very first Time Traveler was apparently a dinosaur.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just waiting for it to come to Netflix. So I can actually see
it. Soon enough,
you know what? Yeah. It's not going to be Netflix. I think it's over on Hulu.
Yeah. That's where we saw it.
It'll be on Netflix.
That's where we saw it.
I hope so, yeah.
It'll take a little longer to get to Netflix.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, let's move on. A new trailer dropped, guys, which is...
I don't want...
This one, we can't give you a lot of details about it, but Miss Dawn's kind of shaking
here.
The
songs that are in it.
I want to shoot, baby.
Well... There's a new Deadpool trailer, guys. Now, any of the young geeksters out there, you're not going to be able to see most of this trailer. Sorry, guys.
Okay, there
but then
are...
again, you should be checking out this movie anyway.
Okay. Go check out my blog for this week, because I talk about red band versus green band. And if you know anything about Deadpool, as by now you should, you have to watch the red band trailer. And you can watch the green band, but what's wrong with you? So, anyway... as soon as I saw this trailer, I wanted to see the movie immediately, but that's no surprise if you know me at all. But it gives you a little more, the backstory. It has a little more with Vanessa, his love interest. It definitely has a little more with the side characters, including Colossus, who now speaks, and he has the Russian accent as promised, and Negasonic Teenage Warhead, who is the bratty teen standing there texting while
Twitter.
In the middle of a fight.
They have a tweet, actually.
She's got to get that finished. But then you see her power, because it
and
was...
And I can see why they call her that.
Yeah, it was always hard for them to explain exactly what she did. She explodes at people, and yet she explodes at people. You can't really...
I think you got it.
You can't really do much more than that. She explodes at people. But yeah, and it's, Red Band, obviously, you're going to get a lot of the bloody violence and slightly foul language.
Slightly.
But it's definitely Deadpool being Deadpool, and highly enjoyable trailer to watch over and over again.
And TJ Miller showed more of how fun he is.
Yes. With just that one line.
I get the feeling that I might have to take the night off from Mighty Marvel Geeks to see this movie.
On the Thursday of the release week, yes.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day.
And on the Friday and on the Saturday.
You know, they'll probably allow you guys to record afterwards.
That's true. I mean, we might be able to catch it earlier. Yeah.
If you took, because they play at 7.
Unlike other movies that I'm fine seeing just one time, Deadpool will definitely be a multiple viewing for me, worth it probably 3 or 4. Whether Kylan goes with me or not, quite honestly. I'll go with Vernon Cam.
I mean, I'll just say, look, I'm a fan of wholesale violence. You have not heard me. I mean, I get guns, yes. I get ninjas, yes. I get swords, yes. Okay.
You have the size.
He got what size too?
Yeah.
He has everything.
Okay, well, I'm
he actually
there.
Has, technically, at one point, he has had a magic bag, essentially a bag of holding, where he can pull out any weapon. Any weapon.
For some reason, I can see whoever's... Deadpool seemed to be the kind of guy that every problem can be solved with a bazooka. And I just get that feeling.
But you don't think so?
Only a bazooka?
No, I'm not...
A bazooka's so impersonal.
I like to get up close and personal. I'm more of
You saw in the trailer, he kabobbed the guy.
Yeah.
Not up close and personal.
That is. I'm just saying, you know... I mean, if I had a bag of holding, there are times when I would pull out a bazooka, but more likely I'm pulling out a staff or a sword. I'm not doing a... You know,
and that's your choice, and that's why you're not in the Red Spandex.
Speaking of that, we actually saw the first 4 episodes of Dark Matters, finally.
Oh,
we started watching it yesterday.
Yes.
And talking about the guy with the swords.
Yes.
Dude is awesome.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sitting there, and I'm watching this, and I'm like, okay, we know his action game. Samurai? Ninja? Okay.
Great. Yeah.
Well, play. Even in space, we still need swords. All
right. Hey, well, if I remember right, in that movie or that show, he actually makes the point of it also that you hear other places that swords don't run out of bullets.
They don't.
Exactly.
Actually, I was having a discussion with someone, and I said something about carrying a knife, and they're like, "Well, you don't carry a knife to a gunfight." I'm like, "A knife doesn't reload." And they're like, "True." No,
well,
thank you.
To be fair, though, I mean, you heard of the 20-foot rule?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Within 20 feet, anyone who has any kind of melee weapon will be able to get to someone who has a gun where they can draw.
That is true.
Yeah. I've actually seen that tested on. They have video that I saw on Facebook of that tested.
Yeah.
Where there was a guy with a knife and a cop, and they were at 20 feet. The cop drew, and the dude didn't move until the cop went for the gun. As soon as he grabbed that gun, the dude was on him before he could pull it.
That's true. That's true, because you still got to clear the holster and draw, and meanwhile, you know.
Yeah. And anything beyond that is still 50-50.
Yeah. Because you said, even to bring it up, you got to still be able to actually get it aimed before they get to you.
And,
but that's why most officers are trained in hand-to-hand also, so that if that situation comes up, they can
deal with it. The moral of the story here is stay in school.
Yeah.
Yeah, kids, no. Just say no, stay in school, that's important.
Yeah. Yeah.
School is expensive.
Don't listen to Cam. Just say no and stay in school.
Hey, Cam, have you learned the secret, though? As long as you stay in school, you never have to start making payments.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah. From major and all that other stuff.
Technically, as long as you stay in school, everything's deferred.
Until that debt bubble pops. And otherwise, you know, you might have to go back on the corner or go on the pole. And there's no shame in that.
Or both.
We're talking about Deadpool. Wait. We're talking about Cameron here. Okay. There's one other big thing that happened this week before we get into the Star Wars is there were some pictures. Well, no, there were some pictures that came out today.
Yeah, you know what? I went to see a doctor. Did anybody else go see a doctor today?
Yeah, he was a little odd.
Strange.
And the weird thing is, before we got here today, Geeksters, Kylan had never even seen those pictures. He didn't know they were
out there.
Someone can't always access the internets from work.
I was at a disadvantage. But, you know, but actually it's a good thing because I would totally geek that at work. And they already know me, but they have not seen me geek out. And that would have been like, I've been done. Cash register done. Just cash me out.
He looks amazing.
That is truly a page to the screen.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange. The thing was, I was like, there were so many times I would look at him, I'm like,
do I see Doctor Strange?
Kind of, sort of. But I figured, it was going to be a case of, I would grow to see Doctor Strange. No, this is not a grow to see Doctor Strange situation.
I mean, this is the first I saw in the morning. I put my phone up, put my eyes, and I was like, oh, Doctor Strange.
Well, see, I don't think anyone had a problem with the casting from the beginning, though.
No. I knew he was going to do good, but I was like, how's he going to look?
I looked at it and thought Benedict Cumberbatch could do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you knew he could act it anyway.
Right.
It's not going to be a question there. But I think, honestly, from the start, just looking at him, I had no problem like seeing it.
Yeah, I was just curious how they were going to do it, and I guess they
got
the easy route. Yeah, and I guess they got the easy route. Take it from the book.
Right. The other question still out there, are they going to have him with the American accent or the British accent?
I wouldn't care.
In my head, I don't know why, but Stephen Strange is always... Okay, I won't say it's been British, but very refined.
Aristocratic.
Like, almost aristocratic. I mean...
How Cumberbatch sounds,
well,
anyway.
British. Yeah, that's the sorcerer part.
Right.
In general, especially as Americans, that you always think of... When you think of a sorcerer or anything in fiction, it's always from British folklore.
True.
Yeah.
Right.
So you think of a British guy...
Right.
...with big robes.
I mean he's...
Talking
he's,
in the... what you call it? In Shakespearean English.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's a sorcerer supreme. I'm like, okay, dude.
Question is with the amulets, with what he is wearing. The question now is there an Infinity Stone in there?
I'm getting a look now. I'm like, it might not be.
See,
I've seen it like across Twitter and stuff.
Yeah, but then somebody point out it might not be because it looks like.
See, the thing is, when he's wearing the Eye of Agamotto, that's an enchanted icon,
right?
And it's kind of like the sort of like the source of his power. I can't say unless for some reason it initially has the soul's gem and then something happens and it becomes imbued with another power and then the soul gem comes out. I don't know, but it is the source of his power.
Right.
So
well, the first look comes from, you can see it online everywhere, but it comes from Entertainment Weekly.
Right.
So I know I'm going to pick up the issue anyway. just in case there's more to the story, not just the picture. And the whole issue is a double-sized first look issue on all sorts of things. So there's going to be more in the actual issue itself.
And the one reason why I think it could be in his amulet, Vision has one in his head.
Exactly.
So... Right.
It's kind of like they're hiding them in plain sight in a lot of these movies and with these characters.
Right.
And it would make sense that they would connect Doctor Strange in this way.
Yeah.
But you said that the eye is the source of all his power. Do you think they'll do something in the show where, you know, he'll lose it and then, you know, he'll you had the courage all the time, you know, cowardly lion?
Well, see, it's completely possible because you got Baron Mordo, who is... is like the main bad guy, who's sort of like, at least in the, depending on how they tell the story, Mordo is the rival student of the agent, along with Stephen Strange.
Yeah, battling for number one student, though.
Right, and then Stephen becomes Sorcerer Supreme over Mordo, and Mordo is like,
jealous.
Well, F you, and then that's when all the craziness breaks out. So, I don't know. I mean, it's completely possible they may do that, because I think the Sorcerer, being Sorcerer Supreme, should be more than just being lucky enough to have an amulet. You do have to have something in you. And like I said, maybe it is, you had it in you all along, Cowardly Lion. And that's okay. Because, you know what? It's Marvel and Stephen Strange. So...
Okay, well, there's one more thing I want to hit just real quick. Geeksters, next week on our show, start your list for 2015. Now, we're going to have...
2016.
Well, 2016. 2015, we're closing out. This is the last issue we're going to have for the 2015.
It's unless Ken is apparently a time traveler and planning on starting the whole year over.
2015 was really good.
I ran for Batman versus Superman. I don't need to have any...
It was a great year, but I'm not about to do it again.
Yeah. But... Starting next year, for 2016, we're going to have... What are we looking forward to in 2016? We're going to have Cameron and Vernon and Bart back with us. Cameron's going to bring the games. What are we looking forward to in games for next year? Vernon's going to bring comic books. What comic books has been announced that we're going to be looking forward to? Bart's going to... You are going to do books,
but... Bart's going to do some research, because Bart's going to
say... We never know what Bart's going to bring. It's just like his blog, guys. But, and then I know we're going to... I think we were talking about... We're going to cover... For this year, because there's so much in the way of film coming...
Right.
And television, we're going to cover that in quarters. So we'll cover the first quarter of 2016 in movies. In movies and television. There's some TV coming for the first quarter, too.
Right.
So we'll cover that stuff a little bit too. But next week is going to be a looking forward to the year show. So look forward to that, Geeksters. But now I think we've covered everything. What do you guys actually, something else?
Actually, three things. Two short, one.
Okay, just go.
Okay.
Just go.
We wanted to say we want to wish a happy birthday to.
Oh, yeah.
To Stan Lee. Sort of like the man that kind of started it all for us.
The man who has brought us so much joy.
Stan the man.
Stan the man. He's, what, 93?
93.
So, I'll bet you we could get him on our show, too.
You think?
Because he seems like the type of guy that would do... You just ask him and he would do it.
Just call in and be like, okay.
You know what? Don't even.
Why not?
Why not?
Dude, don't call it because I got goosebumps. Dude. Don't say that.
Kylan, it may have to be just a you phone interview with him because it'd be during the day. But I guarantee if you would send... If we could get a hold of him... And you asked, you could get an interview with Stan.
Dude, look, you're talking to the guy. I was in the same room as the man, and I'm just sitting there like, just so.
You were thinking about it.
I don't know if even talk to the guy. Bit. But you know what? I'm willing to try it. I'm willing to try it. Oh, and who else? We have
Nichelle Nichols.
Nichelle Nichols,
83.
83. Lieutenant Uhura.
She's still looking kind of hot.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she recently suffered a stroke a few months back, and she's up and running again, and so she's looking good.
You know, and an inspiration to so many, and she served as a recruiter for NASA to encourage women to
join the space program.
See, and
I love that about NASA. They actually embraced Star Trek from way back. That is like, you know what, Star Trek caused a lot of people to look to space like, hey, this could be something cool to do and actually for exploration.
Right.
And they worked with Gene Roddenberry and Star Trek so close, it was amazing.
It was. And so that was so awesome. And only because I forgot to do a mini discussion last week, a friend of the show, Rhonda Mihalik, was talking to her daughter, and they're discussing we've talked about it before, how there are certain female characters oddly are missing from who had major roles in the Avengers. Okay. And so she was talking with her daughter, and her daughter was wondering, how would I feel about if some reason Tony Stark made some kind of exosuit that augmented Black Widow's abilities? You know, basically just made her ninjalistics even more ninjalistic. And she wanted to know what I thought about it, and I just want to say really quickly that personally, I think that would be awesome. That based on the technology that's available in the Marvel Universe, and because they're kind of they like to stay true to what they're able to do, I could see them being able to do a pared-down exosuit that would just augment your natural abilities. I would love to see something like that. On the big screen.
Well, they should be able to do that on big screen anyway, because they already have that in real life.
Right.
There are exosuits for people. A lot of times they'll use them for soldiers, not as a super soldier, but right, to help people who are recovering from spinal damage and things, mm-hmm, and right, soldiers. Okay. There's a lot of veterans that have this.
Two things. Number one, Pepper wore one of Tony's suits in the movie.
She did.
And kicked some serious butt.
She did.
So you can imagine if Black Widow, with skills, or something like that. And number two, they had exosuits in a movie called G.I. Joe. Not that I really wanted to bring it up, but he mentioned soldiers. So I had to bring that up and just...
And they had Duke in that movie.
Could we go back to Marvel saying maybe we might see something like that with the Iron Spider suit? That might be all.
That'd be cool.
Hey, you know, and see, there's talk, I think, of us seeing Iron Spider.
At first, they said no. Now they're saying,
yeah, just like they said, well, no, we're not going to see Peter Parker in Civil War. And now it's, I think it's all fluid. And, you know, I would love to see that.
I would, too.
Just be in the background.
He better be more than just in the background.
I mean,
Easter egg. You're just like, damn, was that?
At least the one thing is cameo and Jessica Jones.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Wait, he didn't have a damn.
What?
Yeah. As they walk by the ice cream stand,
yeah,
one of the ice cream bars is a Spider-Man
ice cream. Remember, you could get Spider-Man head ice cream bar?
Yes, right.
There's one on the ice cream truck that they walk
by. I'm going to rewatch it again.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check that out.
Oh, how you suffer to have to watch it again.
Oh, yeah, it was terrible watching the first two times.
It was just like at the end of Daredevil, and I had to point this out to people. When they're talking in the very last shot, and you notice that they kind of shoot a shot just above a garbage like a black garbage bag with like the red handles, and it makes the interlock D's.
It makes the interlock D's of the red handles of the garbage bag.
Because I'm sitting there and I'm looking at it, and I'm like,
he had to rewind.
And I was like, why does that look familiar? And I'm like, honey, look, and it's interlocked D's. And well,
you think we'll get his, logo?
No, he's not getting it. But see, the only reason why, because Marvel's doing such a good job of sort of getting the superheroes, but in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's one thing, for Captain America, that is a military uniform, and that is iconic. When you think about Punisher, and I know we're going to see the Deathhead, but that's because that's him. It's
a skull.
The Deathhead skull is like a.
It will skull mean death too,
right?
If you go back into Marvel comics in general, even all the way back into the 60s and stuff, there's not a lot of actual logos.
That's what I was thinking.
DC comics logos right on their chest. Almost everybody has is who you are. But Marvel doesn't have that many. The X-Men have it, but everybody has the same one.
Yeah,
right. So X.
And Iron Man doesn't have a logo. Spider-Man officially kind of has the spider on his chest, but it's not really a logo.
They've made
them
more iconic image for each one, and not really a logo.
Yeah. Right. Like Marvel forever. Marvel, their logos was just their face.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just remember the corner of the comic had the face on it.
Man, Fantastic Four. You know, they had the four little.
Yeah, they have the four.
But it was good.
That we saw during Star Wars. Did Wonder Woman have a? Did she have that going on?
Yeah, she always
because had I wasn't interested at all. And then I saw that at the end, and I'm like, I'm going.
You know what?
I got it.
I think there's another new trailer. Because I saw this Batman v Superman trailer today when I went and saw Star Wars again. But it actually had like three or four scenes with Wonder Woman in it.
Oh, oh no, I only saw the one at the end.
No,
I was
no,
like,
no, no, no. One has actually her, she's in a red, it's Diana Prince, because it's a red dress with the open back. And then there's three or four shots during a battle where she is fighting a couple times.
Well,
so it's got to be a new one.
Okay. Well, all right.
So there's a couple of shots of her in these ones.
What was the other thing you had?
Oh, that was it. I had two birthdays. Birthdays. And just
Since we're on birthdays, tomorrow's my mom's birthday, so I just have to mention that.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
She's
turning 75.
All right, so Big Geek Watch 1, happy birthday to Don's mom, because without Don's mom, we wouldn't have Don. And we wouldn't have Geek Watch 1. So, just saying. Well,
I want to point something out that sort of falls back to the beginning of what you were saying.
What?
About how the lack of females in the Star Wars toys.
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting that the news has suddenly just realized, oh, this is a thing? And how long ago did we bring it up on
the show?
Yeah,
we're on second issue.
Yeah, we had it in February.
This past week or so.
Yet the news,
they suddenly
local
brought
news
up
only
the set of Star Wars toys again.
See, that's
the
just
set that came out a few months
the
ago.
The new kids on the block brought out a story before the established news.
We're
hanging
tough. How many 8-year-olds were angry last year?
Exactly. Yeah.
How many 8-year-old girls were angry last
Geek
year?
Geek Watch 1, we have our finger on the pulse of Geek America or
toys.
Geek World and toys.
Behind the news.
This is going to transition real well into the main topic.
Yes, it is.
Well, we're talking Star Wars toys, so why don't we actually start Star Wars?
There you go.
All right,
there you go.
All right,
right. Uh-oh. Sit back. Grandpa Carrington's going to bring some knowledge.
Oh, come on. I don't have that many gray hairs.
Okay, Uncle Carrington.
Okay, you good? Okay. All right, he's good.
So what I wanted to say is, so, like, seriously, this is your last chance. Like, the spoilers, like, stop listening.
Get the hell out.
You want me?
Leave the room.
Cameron, we're sorry. You should have known.
We're about to get real now.
Cameron tuned out on us.
Yeah, he's got earbuds in. He's good.
All right.
You should draw pictures.
So, Carrington, what did you think of this film?
We'll start with
the overall, and then we'll get into some details.
Overall, we can get into some specifics. Yeah. I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the movie. I thought it was very well done. I felt like they took the original trilogy, they chopped it up a little bit, they fluffed it up, and then they went, here's the new movie. I did feel like they recycled some themes and things like that.
That's a Star Wars thing. We'll get into that in a minute. I have something for that.
Yeah, as do I. I think that it was a good retelling of the original trilogy. We got some new faces. The new characters that we knew nothing about, because J.J. Abrams had posters up in the studio that said, Loose Lips Sink Starships.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right.
It was fantastic. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was excellent.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
But I did have some gripes. We'll get to those later.
Yeah, those will be the very end, because those aren't as big on this. But let's see, Vernon, what was your, just overall, just real quick.
I loved it. I've seen the thing three times now. It took a lot from the older ones, especially episode 4.
Yeah, the more you watch it, the more you see it.
I see them a lot more. I see it in the other movies too, but definitely episode 4. And I'm wondering if they're going to keep doing that with each one. Okay. Like episode 8 is going to take from 5 and then continue on with 9.
So oh, yeah.
Well, that's what they did with the prequels too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They tried.
Well, what?
Like,
no, what
no, they took it, but it didn't hit fans. It was more like a, okay, I see what they did there. This one's like, I know where that came from. What scene?
Well,
everything. It was more nostalgia with it.
Yeah, exactly. Let's move. Let's get around to him. Just get everybody's quick overalls. Then I got a couple things I can bring in. That's gonna bring all that in. Bart, what did you think of the movie? What was your first impression when you saw it?
First, I've only seen it once.
Okay.
I love it. I need to go back to see it again. I need to get another paycheck before I do that.
Hey, the Highland Theater is $5 all day.
Ooh, that's Highland
every day.
Because I keep wanting to go there. But I loved it. I went on a Friday morning, expecting no one to be there, and I was glad to get sold that for their showing. It was the greatest thing I've seen in years. That little old space movie with Carrie Fisher, he's still rocking it. I mean, you can't go wrong.
Okay, Nate, what was your impressions?
I mean, coming from somebody who's not the Star Wars fanboy, it was pretty solid. I mean, and I've seen them all, absolutely. But, it hit me right in the feels in some parts, and it was definitely a winner. It was good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, one thing, I'll get to that. That'll be the next thing I get to. So, Kylan, We covered a lot. Actually, we've already covered the four of us. What do we thought
have,
of it?
We have. Last issue.
So, but there's big news as of yesterday. Now, we were predicting this last week. We predicted straight up.
We called it.
Yesterday, Sunday, the 27th of December, Star Wars The Force Awakens crossed $1 billion worldwide. In, what is that, 9 days?
I thought it was seven.
7 would have been till Friday. So Sunday's when it hit it. But still, the closest... At this point, Box Office Mojo is not comparing it to Jurassic World anymore.
Oh, yeah, they've been...
They're comparing it to Avatar now. Because Avatar is the largest grossing film of all time.
It's going to take down Avatar. It's
well, Avatar is like $2.5 billion. And in 9 days, Star Wars has made $1 billion. So
how long did it take the 2.5?
I'm not sure. That's the entire run. And Avatar was in the theaters for, what, 4 or 5 months?
Yeah.
You got to remember, the reason, and a lot of people brought this up, Avatar made a big opening weekend. It made a big splash. But Avatar opened in December and ran all the way through into the spring. So there was a lot of people that you get second and third time that they're like, you know what? It's a Friday night. Nothing's going on. There's nothing in the theaters because most people know that February and March is tumbleweed flowing through theaters. There's not a whole lot usually out.
Right.
So they were like, hey, everybody's talking about this. Let's go see Avatar.
Right.
Everybody's talking about it, all this technological stuff in it. So that's where they made their money. Star Wars is doing it up front, and it's consistent. It's steady. Every day they're getting $50 to $75 million.
Right. It's a...
It was actually, the billion was 12 days.
12 days? Okay.
Fastest to 1 billion worldwide, 12 days. Jurassic World did it in 13 days, so it beat it by one.
Wow.
Oh, man, that was close.
That's crazy.
But it was also the fastest to 50, 100, 150, 200, 250, 300, 350, 400, 450, and 500 million.
Yeah.
And all the pre-sales they had.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a long time before someone actually breaks these records.
Yeah.
But, so that's the money part of this.
Episode 8.
Huh? Go ahead.
Episode 8.
Maybe. I don't know. It depends on how well they build it up. I mean, there's a lot of stuff left over from this movie.
Rogue One's coming out first.
Yeah.
And I don't think they can build up like they did with this one.
I don't think Rogue One's going to make the money this did.
See, here's the thing. I hope they just realize that, and I'm not saying it's a fluke, but the thing is, you're talking about a movie that we've been waiting 30 years for.
Yeah.
Okay. And so we now got the definitive story of what happens after the Battle of Endor. Okay. So, yeah, we've been waiting for that. Now when Rogue One comes up, it doesn't mean that we love it any less.
Yeah,
it
just... That hype is gone.
It's also going to be a different type of Star Wars movie.
Right.
Yeah, I think Rogue One might get more traction with the fans.
I'm excited about Rogue One.
That's going to see.
I feel like the same fans that watched the Clone Wars.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm excited. I can't wait for Rogue One because, you know, for one thing, it's like a military. It's more that military side of it.
It comes down to our age, we were playing with toys when Star Wars was out originally.
Right.
How many times did you actually play in the sandbox and come up with your own way that they sold the Death Star plans?
That's true.
Now we're going to get to see the definitive. This is what they say actually hit the way it worked.
Right.
I wish I had that. I had the prequels.
Exactly. But, one thing we were good, where did I want to go with this next? Well, let's go into a little bit of the characters before we go into, because I want to get into the whole similarities between them. But just real quick, what was everybody's favorite? Dawn, who's your favorite character?
Kylo Ren.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Especially with
new or old, didn't matter. Who was your favorite character in this?
Interesting.
Poe Dameron.
Mm. Nate?
I'm shipping Poe and Finn.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
Okay, Vernon.
What? BB-8.
BB-8?
Yeah. He stole the movie.
BB-8? Harrington's got BB-8.
No, you gotta love him.
I'm not saying BB-8. I like BB-8.
Yeah, who's your favorite?
Awesome. I really like Rey.
You like Rey?
I really like Rey.
Yeah, I mean, it's a toss-up. I like Rey, but BB-8, I mean, if he's BB-8, come on.
Yeah.
Thumbs up to that.
Vicky, who's your favorite character?
I like Rey.
You like Rey?
I absolutely love that... I'm going to jump right to the end there. I think that I love how Rey is the new Luke and Han. Like,
That's going to be part of this as we're coming up, too. Yeah. But mine, I think I'd have to go Rey because of other stuff we're going to get into. Because in the original trilogy, Luke was my favorite character. So Rey is the Luke for this character.
See,
now, going into the... You're talking about the similarities between A New Hope and here.
Yeah.
30 years ago... There's been a story a long time ago that Lucas actually had the plans for this. He had them just in a vague notebook, vague ideas in his notebook. But he had the ideas for this. He had actually, Mark Hamill tells the story that he had actually sat down with Lucas, because Hamill, during the first original trilogy, was plugging away and asking Lucas for as many ideas as he could, because he wanted to know more about this universe.
Right.
He's a comic book fan, always was a comic book and superhero fan and stuff, so he saw this and said, I want to know more about this.
Right.
So, and Lucas had actually told him, in 30 years, if you're willing to do it, come on back and I'll have you do the Obi-Wan character. Now, it almost happened. But I don't think he's not the Obi-Wan character for this trilogy.
You don't think so?
No, if you look at the way this circle it all the way around.
Because it's the end of the movie, he's already dead.
No. Exactly. The Obi-Wan character for this, you got to think of the original trilogy, the Obi-Wan was the mentor. If you look at the hero's journey, and I actually had the graphic up earlier, the hero meets the journey. Meets the mentor. The hero is Rey. She is Luke Skywalker for this trilogy.
Right.
And she meets... Who moves her away and takes her out? It's Han Solo. He mentors her. He teaches her how to get out. And he helps force her on this journey. And she loses her mentor. Just like Obi-Wan. He lost Obi-Wan.
Yeah. Just like Obi-Wan. Like Qui-Gon Jinn. I mean, every first movie.
The original mentor, you have to lose that
way. Same way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's Campbell's mythology.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Carrington, what you got?
Say, all of these movies are cyclical.
Yes.
Watch them.
Yeah, they are.
They go through it. You know, at Qui-Gon Jinn, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Han Solo. Or are you just going to say it? Han Solo dies.
Okay. Yeah. Well, everybody at this point knows this.
It's a spoiler. You said that. But I'm curious if we're going to get a hand cut off in episode 2.
Oh, absolutely.
Kylo lost his. And this
we don't know.
We don't know that.
No, during the battle, you could see.
But then I was watching it for the third time. I seen this. It looked like it did. But then when he raised back up doing this, he had a hand. So I was like, at least it looked like one.
Was it his saber that got cut now?
Yeah, I think the saber got destroyed.
Okay.
Like his red saber.
Yeah.
He needs. Let's say something. He needs.
How does it come up? It's light. I mean, it's energy.
Going into that battle, actually. What's your opinion on how does Rey figure out how to can all of a sudden do all this? Now, I don't know. Everybody's thought about this.
Yeah.
So, what's your opinion on how is Rey able to do all this with no training?
She's a chosen one.
I honestly think she had training. There was a lot of stuff that she doesn't remember. She was left on that planet.
And
the way she handled that staff.
Let me tell you something. From my old martial arts days, if you know how to handle one weapon, you can handle any weapon. And the way she handled that staff, would you want to go up against her? No. And if she can handle herself with the staff, then a lightsaber was
nothing. But, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, in general, the Force abilities. Yeah. She was able to do Force suggestion.
She was able to use
telekinesis.
She's Luke's daughter.
She read Kylo's mind.
Read Kylo's mind.
What the Force can reveal...
She told Daniel Craig to let her go.
Yeah. Vicky had one here. What was that?
No, Gordon was saying that she's Luke's daughter, but I said, but she said that she didn't know who he was. She's never met him.
She never met Luke.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter.
Yeah, she never met Luke. She don't know who her dad was. That could have been the same person.
Okay.
I mean, it could have been just anybody. I mean, if you when she touches Luke's saber for the first time, it's like she gets a whole bunch of like flashbacks. It's like she forgot something. She was left on that planet. Who left her on the planet?
Yeah.
Who was it? Was it Luke? Was it Kylo Ren at a younger age?
If you look at her dressing and also what she was in when she was dropped off.
Mm-hmm.
It looks very reminiscent of the Jedi robes.
Yeah, yes, it does.
And we already know that the Jedi Academy was remade. They said that in the film.
So he did have an order going.
The Jedi Academy was remade by Luke, and then Kylo Ren cut it all down.
Yeah, he did have a Jedi order going. I noticed that today because we were discussing this before I saw it for the third time today, that how we weren't sure, did Luke actually start? Kylo Ren the only character, or was Ben the only student? But no, she says he had started, and Ben actually destroyed the order.
We know that they took bits from the what they're considered legend now.
Yeah.
If anybody read the Jedi Academy story, there was a character who Luke took under his wing.
Yeah.
Who became Exar Kun?
No.
You're talking about Darth Cadus?
No. Exar Kun actually tempted him and helped him fall.
Right.
He was a Force ghost. You're talking about what's his name?
One of the first.
Kip Duren.
Kip Duren. was sort of like the brightest student of the new Jedi Order, and he ends up basically betraying the Order, and he doesn't completely take out the
and stealing the current super weapon of that trilogy,
right? So now mind you, they're taking bits from the expanded universe,
a lot of bits.
a lot of bits, true. So the thing is, what I'm thinking is that we did have that. I believe you had I won't say you had a fully trained Jedi Order.
No, they were all at this point. Remember, this is only 30 years after. So anybody he had started training had only been training for 4 or 5 years, or maybe 10. I mean, 10 could be. But
the thing is, depends on how far along. Because I'm thinking Luke picked up right after the Battle of Endor. Had he picked up right after the Battle of Endor, and we're talking about how old was Kylo? We're saying Kylo's what, maybe 25?
Yeah.
If that.
Well, no, he wasn't trained. 19. That's another thing I picked up today. Kylo wasn't trained from a child.
No, he wasn't.
No.
Yeah.
You gotta think, I was telling Vicky this last week, or as we were talking about this, that my take on this is Kylo acts like a spoiled kid the whole time. He's
got daddy
issues. Thank you. He's the kid.
He does have daddy issues.
He was raised on the knowledge that he's the nephew of the Chosen One. He knows that his family is the ones who brought balance to the Force. And I'm thinking eventually he got to the point where his Han and Leia couldn't he was throwing temper tantrums, and he was spoiled rotten knowing that he could do all this. He's going to be able to do all this. So finally, we can't handle this. Let's send him to Luke to get training. And then he fails because he's already started from the wrong position.
Right.
And I feel like, what was the supposed to be the Emperor? What was his name here again?
Snoke.
Snoke.
Snoke. He told him, hey, you know who your grandfather was? Yeah. You know what your grandfather did? No. Darth Vader. Well, since they won't let me do this part, I can do this part. I feel like that's right,
exactly.
This may be a little bit of a stretcher or something, but like I said, I think he's got daddy issues, which is fine. You know, whatever. Who doesn't? But, you know, I mean, I mean, like I said, maybe it's a stretch, but I keep seeing these connections between, like, Kylo and Rey, and it's
yeah.
You know, and I don't know if that's normal or whatnot, but when he kept hearing that they had help getting off the planet, it was a girl, that's immediately when he freaked out. Like, he knows that she's on that planet. Like, that's why I keep thinking that, like, he placed her there.
I'm thinking, well,
then he asked her, I can teach you.
I think she's actually younger than she may have just been born when all this went down.
Well, I mean, I think that I think he left her on the planet.
Yeah.
If there was something,
I don't think she had any training.
So, or very little.
Yeah.
Or no. I mean,
you know what? I think that she is so deep in the Force, just naturally so deep in the Force, and the way the Force works is it can reveal itself.
Yeah.
Well, that's the reason why she's able to read his mind without any training. Reason why she's able to handle a Luke's lightsaber.
I kind of felt like, not necessarily whether she's Luke's daughter or not, I feel like the Force is a little more powerful than it was in previous films.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily, it doesn't just flow within one, you know, one generation of people. It's starting to flow within everybody, but because it's such a myth, no one knows about it. So
that's
no one
true.
Knows what to do with it.
Well, yeah, I mean, the
fact,
the
it's been there in her, but like they thought it was mythology, that the stories they heard are true.
She started thinking about this all again after meeting Han and thinking, well, Luke Skywalker isn't a myth. He's actually real. So maybe all this Force BS is actually real also. And, you know, it just sort of, you know, she was thinking about it. She wasn't trying to use the Force, and it just happened.
Right. Well, you can look at it this way. Now, they've heard the Legends of the Jedi. They know of some of this. Then, like, the telekinesis, the Force suggestion, this could be things that they've heard that the Jedi can do.
But why would she just do it?
Once she realizes she has the Force, Maz Kanata tells her she's Force-sensitive. Straight up tells her that the Force is calling to you. Close your eyes and feel it. Maz Kanata told her, it's like, you will be able to feel the Force.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's got in her head, hey, the Jedi, they said that you could do all these different things, so she starts playing around. You notice the Force suggestion. It didn't work right away.
Right.
True.
No, so once she relaxed and closed her eyes and tried to focus a little bit, and it all of a sudden worked.
I think that part of it was Kylo reaching in her head.
Yeah.
Rey was like, it's almost like a, you know, someone
brought it up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, she flipped the switch.
It was a defensive mechanism.
Yeah, it's exactly that. It's the living force in her going, get out of my head, and then from there it's like, okay, now
just light. Follow that same path.
It's sort of like
and Don used to do this with me back in the day. Get your mind out of the gutter. But like, I would want to like learn how to fight like blindfolded. Like, no, somebody threw saw my eye and I can't see. And she would do stuff with me and I couldn't see. But once, like if she threw a punch at me and I was able to block the punch, I knew.
He asked me to do this, by the way. I wasn't randomly throwing punches at him.
This is a standard Friday night over at the Toll's household.
Should have felt that.
Once she threw the punch and I knew where she was, all of a sudden that one sense that I lost, I gained another because I could sense where she was. And it's sort of like you said, she wasn't able to do that, but then she felt, if she felt, no, Kylo trying to reach into her head, now she's like, well, no, and along with her pushing against him,
it pushes back through, like I was saying, it goes right following that same stream.
Yeah,
that worked.
What'd you have? Vicky had something, what'd you have?
No, I was going to say, if you look at this, with Kylo Ren, say, okay, he gets some of the force from Leia, we know pretty much nothing from Han. Rey, we can tell that obviously she's a lot stronger than he is. Mm-hmm. What are the chances that she's getting the force from mom and dad? She would get double.
Yeah, what's the chance that actually, I hadn't thought about that just now, what if Luke actually hooked up with one of his students?
And that's completely possible.
That's a complete, yeah.
That's, I mean, you gotta think, the people he's,
the baby mama.
You gotta think that the people he's training, many of them were probably already adults.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, Here's another thing though.
I think that the movie's a shock value. I mean, like, yeah. I don't expect. I guess it's out of left field. It's possible. Absolutely. I just think it's. I think to cut you off. Sorry.
No. You're cool. I think that Kylo may be capable of the same thing, but the thing is, he's kind of blinded by his own ability, mm-hmm. and it's kind of, you know how like when they say the sky's the limit. The thing is, if you think that your limit is here, but your limit is actually here, the thing is, you think you can do this, and that's where you're stuck.
He's blinded by where he thinks he should be.
Right. Whereas Rey has no point of reference.
Where she goes.
Rey has no point of reference. Rey, and that's why Rey is already up here. She doesn't really, you know.
I don't really see that he's putting a glass, that Kylo Ren is putting a glass ceiling on himself, because I honestly think that the sole reason why he killed Han Solo is because with that situation when he was trying to get into Rey's head, and Rey was like, you are afraid that you are not going to be as strong as Darth Vader. Darth Vader's downfall was the fact that he gave into that emotion. So he was like, I'm not going to give into that emotion. I'm going to kill him. Yeah. And he did. Like, right there on that bridge.
My idea with that, though, I thought it was in the movie, but I guess it wasn't, but I've heard somewhere that part of the path to the dark side is actually making a major sacrifice.
You do. You have to make
a sacrifice, something extremely personal.
That was so Vader didn't go all the way?
Vader's sacrifice was the Order. The Jedi Order was his family. He was raised as that was his family.
In episode 3.
He destroyed the entire Jedi Order.
Yeah,
that was his step to the dark side. That was
the Emperor. Yeah, the Emperor told
Ben
him.
Ben sacrificed
that.
His father.
So, because he's
that's
Snoke, right?
Huh?
Snoke said he had to come back and complete his training.
Right.
So maybe he, because that happened after.
You need to, after you make that, then you, because you got to think, Vader, he was called Darth Vader, but his training in the dark side wasn't finished when he destroyed the Jedi Order.
Yeah.
Right.
He continued to train under Palpatine, becoming stronger and stronger. That's why I think next movie, now this, everybody in the world agrees that we had a very emo Kylo Ren in this
movie. Yeah, we did.
I'm thinking the next movie, you're going to have a lot more dark Darth Vader.
Well,
even
after what happened to his face, I know that he's probably going to have to do something with that, too.
Well, yeah, but you know, but does he lose his epic hair?
But that's what I want to know. I'm saying
his
actual personality.
I hope he doesn't, because his ears look like Dumbo's. I'm just saying.
Ooh, he's got to keep that hair.
That rat tail inside. Like,
all I'm saying, the dude took the helmet off and the hair. I'm like, his father had it. His grandfather had it.
Yeah. That is Anakin hair.
That Anakin hair. I'm like, I know who your granddaddy is. Way to go, boy.
I think here's my opinion of Kylo Ren. And this is when I was talking earlier about the gripes. My main gripe is with Kylo Ren.
I'm here with you.
And here, I think my gripe may be different. I felt like it happened way too fast. I felt like it was just like, we found out, oh my gosh, Kylo Ren is, you know, Han and Leia's son. And then we got to see his face, and all this stuff happened, and I felt like it could have been spaced out, like, over three movies. I just felt like I was just like, ugh!
Yeah, but see, you have to have that villain to go through the...
I don't think...
You couldn't have kept Kylo Ren the way he was over those movies and kept people... Seriously, because you gotta think, when you first saw A New Hope for the first time, Darth Vader's the scariest dude on the planet.
Exactly.
How many lists, even till now, Darth Vader is in the top two villains of all time.
Right.
And that's not Anakin Skywalker, that's Darth Vader.
Right. Yeah, right, right.
So we need Kylo Ren to get to that point. That's why I'm thinking at the beginning of the next movie, we're going to have that Kylo Ren.
And here's my thing, well, I'm glad they revealed her at the end of Kylo Ren. Fans would have been so disappointed. We'd be like, oh, it's the prequels all over again. No, they let us know, here's where he's at. He still has to develop, too. Here's the thing, no one in that whole movie knew about the Force, not the way they thought they did. His training wasn't even complete.
Well, I think, that was my I don't like this about Kylo Ren. Let's talk about the things I like about him. Oh my gosh! The dude stops a blaster bolt. No one else. And
first 5 minutes.
No one else does that.
That's your Vader.
Best thing ever.
Palpatine didn't even do it.
Yeah.
And it looks only when he goes away, flies off. Does it?
Yeah.
It was like raw power.
Well, once Vader from doing any push-ups, you know.
Yeah. I don't know about you guys, but other places I've heard mention this that we had two different Kylo Rens in this show. With the mask on, he was a lot more ominous. You could tell the anger came a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
We took the helmet off. You got a lot more emo, a lot more him struggling with
fighting
the light,
the light side,
the seduction of the light side.
Well, remember that's when Han asked if I want to see the face of my son.
Yeah,
and then that's when it's like, okay, so when you take the mask off.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing
that's same for Darth Vader. If you think about it, when he would take his helmet off, that was when we seen him more just calm and stuff.
Yeah,
more calm and collective.
Well,
the helmet back on, become.
With what Parrington was saying about us learning what happened Kylo Ren and being able to... That's where, now that the movie's out, they can take... Now they can start doing stuff in the books and putting in what is his backstory. How did this happen? They have 30 years they can fill in there of how this happened.
Yeah. Right.
Because they've only got one adult novel that's right after The Battle of Endor. That's Aftermath.
Right.
And they've got... I think there was the four young adult books. Journey to the... Journey to the Star's End or something like that? And then there's a Han, a Leia, and a Luke book. They're official young reader books, but they're all part of the regular canon. And most of those take place during the original trilogy or right thereafter. So it's like there's a lot of time that they're going to be able to fill in and give you that backstory.
Well, you even have the novelization of the movie has more details than the movie itself. And it was written based on an early version of the script.
Yeah.
But it's still technically canon because
it's
all in there. So you find out that Kylo pretty much believes he knows who Rey is.
Yeah.
And that, you know, Rey just about kills him.
Well, I can't wait till February.
Because the dark side kind of tries to seduce her with it.
That doesn't even come out until February. It's on ebook form now only.
Right.
And in February, they drop it as hardcover.
And then it's not until February that we find out why the heck C-3PO got a red arm.
That too.
Not the whole time, though. He's got his gold arm back at the end of the movie.
That was one of my favorite scenes in the entire movie. Was you see Han... The door opens up. You see Carrie Fisher as Leia walk out, and then all of a sudden, C-3PO is like, "Hey!"
That was
pretty awkward.
I heard it earlier today on a podcast, but I have to agree fully. That was a C-3PO moment.
Yeah.
It was
C-3PO.
That's everything he always did. He always interrupted. He always made things more awkward than they already were.
And he was talking about how, I don't know if you can recognize me because of my red arm.
Yeah, I wouldn't know you otherwise.
Yeah. Are you guys having a moment? Let me just interrupt that.
Yeah.
Bad. Let's go to that one.
What?
Chewie was the man in this one. Chewie?
After Han died, and then he saw him, like, my brother got shot, I'm gonna kill everybody. Five stormtroopers.
Well, him with the ladies. They go to Maz Kanata's. First thing she says, Han, where's my boyfriend? Chewie's taking care of the Falcon.
Yeah.
You know, when he was getting his arm bandaged up,
he was hitting on the nurse the whole time.
Yeah, How is it in 30 years you never asked to see Chewie's bowcaster?
That's what. See, I always. In the old expanded universe and everything else, the bowcaster was too strong of a weapon, too heavy that no one else could use it but a Wookiee.
Right.
But then Han's just picking up, like, oh, wait. wow, that's this is cool.
I like how it was only he handed it back to him to cock it.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right.
I did like how Han was the only one to develop that. In my mind, it was like, it's still too heavy, but since he's been with him for so long, he's probably seen the way how he holds it. Might be like,
possibly.
And who knows? Maybe he had a little bit of the force.
Maybe it was a new version that was lighter weight.
That was another one that Vicky brought up earlier about Kylo's parents. Leia had the force. No one's ever said Han isn't force sensitive.
True.
That's true. I mean,
he has no training or anything else. But look at all that luck. The amount of luck.
And he shot the freaking
his natural piloting ability. Yeah. No look shots.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? And he did do the Kessel run.
And hey, he always talks his way out of
not 14. 14.
12. 12. 12. 12. 12.
And he always talks his way out.
14. Yeah, he always talks his way out of situations. Yeah. And yes, I do. Chewie was calling him on it too.
Yeah, yeah. This is the. I feel like this is the first movie where we really saw Chewbacca do something.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, he put C-3PO back together. I felt like he was kind of like the
Christmas special was all about him, and we still didn't see him do anything.
I have watched that from my memory.
Hey, I like the Christmas special for what it is.
I watched the riff track.
It's not fantastic, but it's still cool.
One
for what
of the
it
best
was.
Bad movies you ever let me borrow.
Over Christmas, I watched the riff track version.
Is it canon or not? It's canon.
Because if George Lucas officially says it's not canon, he admits to it existing. Yeah, it's canon.
That's true.
I'm sorry.
But he's not setting canon anymore, so it's not.
They said it's seven movies
in the Clone Wars and
that's true. Rebels.
So what's going on with Kylo Ren's lightsaber? Like,
he's bad at making them.
There you go.
You think he never finished his Jedi training, so he never got to the point where he built his own lightsaber.
He's tantrum.
So at this point, he's built. Either he's tried to figure out on his own poorly.
Well, I did other research. Go ahead.
For
tantrums.
Yeah. Well, another theory is that he just lost patience and just slapped it together.
No, he keeps chopping things up when he gets angry.
Yeah, but then another theory was it's actually an ancient Sith version of it. It was like a Sith artifact that he brought up. That it was an early version of a lightsaber.
See, because from what I've tried to do some research on, because I found it really interesting how it's not a solid beam. It looks like it's sparking out of control.
Yeah,
exactly.
And from what I understand with the research that I did. When they make their own lightsabers, they have to get one of those
kyber crystals.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And it's cracked. So the reason why it has the pieces coming out of the side is because it has to disperse all of the energy, or else it's considered unstable, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah,
so a lightsaber.
So he made that how it is, or it was made how it is. I don't know if you know.
Like I said, I think it was that he was never trained, so he figured out on his own how to do this. That's why if you look, there's wires hanging off of it and stuff also.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, no, if you actually look at it close, because if you look at the actual at Celebration and some of the other places where they've actually had the prop sitting there behind glass.
That's exactly what it says about the official explanation on the prop itself. Says it's an ancient design, although recently constructed. The crossguard blades or killions are raw power vented from the primary central blade.
Yeah, but there's wires and stuff hanging off. It is a very crudely constructed lightsaber.
Of course, we got his ass. Sorry.
Sorry.
I just think it's too many times of him throwing tantrums.
Yeah,
tearing a rule.
Yes.
Yeah, for a hot second when I was watching, when he stopped the blast from coming out first, I'm like, is he making that lightsaber pop out with his force? That's why I thought for a hot second.
You know, the thing is, like, when I think about not understanding, he's not full on Sith yet. But when I think
there
about
are
the
no
Sith
left,
I too. Okay, well, he's not. So he's not a knight of Ren.
Knights of Ren are not. See, by the way, I'll get to that in a minute. The Knights of Ren.
I picture him being very calm and collected, you know. But when dude tells him that they got away. And then he's like,
is there anything else?
I'm like,
well, no, think about it. He tried hard to not kill the messenger.
Yeah, he did.
His granddaddy killed messengers immediately.
That's true.
when someone's that upset and they ask you, is there anything else? You say, yes, that was it. And they go find out by themselves.
This is why those two stormtroopers saw that happening and were like, whoop,
he's
other way.
Other control anywhere else.
The funny thing is,
they have lines.
There's actually lines for the stormtroopers that didn't make it. lots of expletives. Well, no, what it is if you look on the credits, there's actually a spot for additional voices, and all that. Those were all the actors that did like all your stormtrooper voices, all the radio sound effects, stuff like that. And it's almost all Star Wars, the Clone Wars actors.
Yeah,
it was all guys that have worked for the Star Wars for the last 15 years, doing voice work for video games and everything else, that have were given a chance to get into the movie by doing this. So you got like Sam Witwer and James Arnold Taylor and all these guys. Dave Filoni is actually one of the voices in this. He's the executive producer and basically the showrunner for Clone Wars and for Rebels. He was in this movie. All this stuff, and a lot of that was. They're guys that actually have been talking Star Wars for 15 years. So none of those had lines written. They're like, okay, well, I need two stormtroopers sitting here talking. So they took, like, David Collins and Sam Witwer, and they started having a Star Wars conversation. Then, if I remember right, that one was the one, as she's coming out, before she climbs down into the, Rey climbs down the wall, there's two stormtroopers sitting around the corner, and you can barely hear them talking. They're talking about T something or other.
Yeah.
It's like a modern version, because I heard the story. They David Collins was talking about this. What they were actually saying in the original A New Hope, the two troopers protecting the shield generator switch that Obi-Wan goes around behind. Yeah. They're talking about the T-14s or something, how they're better than the T-13s or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, these guys are talking about how the T-17s just came out and they're so much better than what. And it's basically a more advanced version of the same conversation of the whatever. What's it's this new series. Armor like?
Yeah.
It's what stormtroopers would be talking. And none of it was scripted. They just got out there and started talking.
Right.
I like the fact that in the new movie. Newer, younger Grand Moff Tarkin leaves the Death Star before it blows up.
Yes. Because you know what? He's like, deuces, holla. Grand Moff old Tarkin's like, I shall.
In a moment of triumph?
Like, evacuate?
You know, and I'm like, oh, okay, dude.
Yeah. You need a sandwich.
Here's a Snickers. You're not you when you're hungry.
I wonder when Akbar is gonna, you know, pop in his line. I was waiting for the girl, and I was like, he's gonna say it.
I was so excited to see Akbar.
Yeah.
I'm like, Akbar!
We've gotta go.
And then they had so many, like, the whole movie, I'm just like, I'm seeing all of these actors and actresses and stuff that I didn't expect. Like, what's his name from Heroes? Matt from Heroes?
Yeah!
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I saw him and she's like,
he apparently has an action figure.
That's a character from, I guess he's a kid in the Star Wars Aftermath book.
Really? Oh, really?
His parents were part of the Rebellion. Just like Poe Dameron's parents were, one was a pilot, one was a commando on Endor.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I saw a tweet or something from him, and he said his is going to be the biggest selling action figure because he's buying all of them.
Oh, yeah. I'm
sitting there, and I'm like... Is that who? I mean, he looks like I said on Heroes.
He looked much chubbier in the flight suit once he was sitting in there. Yeah. Really big,
but you know what? I'm like, hey, we got new Porkins, and he's
that actually guy. Is a lot of people are looking at is that could be the son of Porkins.
It could be
true,
and at least he survived because Porkins bought it. You know, at the Battle of Yavin, rest in peace.
That
Perkins.
Was one of the things about how many of them survived because they were called back is how small their forces are.
Right,
they were calling them back and just like you guys got to get. We can't lose people.
Well, I was talking about with my boss, and the one of the things that he loved was how we actually got to see an X-wing squadron that was properly trained, and they weren't like, hey. Hey, here's a flight suit. Get up there.
Here's your helmet.
Here's your helmet. Good luck.
They had a couple years to figure it out.
They had a couple years to figure it out. So
let's move on a little bit into the Knights of Ren. And also, there's a counterpart to the Knights of Ren that they don't mention in the movie, but it's part of Wikipedia.
Uh-huh.
That it's actually there is a Force Church.
Yeah.
A Church of the Force. That's who Lord Santika was. Max von Sydow's character. He's right. The one that had the. That Poe goes and gets the information from was Lor San Tika.
Yeah.
Which actually is a character that was alive back during the Clone Wars originally.
Right.
He's old enough that he's made all the way through. He's seen this the whole way. He was, it says here that, where to go? He lived during the Clone Wars. Though he's not a Jedi, he adheres the ideals of the Jedi Order and believed that they could, there could not be balance to the Force without the Jedi returning.
So
because he remembers the original order.
So, in other words, he's sort of like the RZA of the Star Wars, because the RZA was not part. He had never gone to the Shaolin Temple, but he embraces the principles of the Shaolin. So this dude never he was never like a Jedi, but he embraces the principles. So he's sort of like the RZA,
exactly. Okay, which actually explains a little bit. If you think the Knights of Ren being the counterpart to that, to where they adhere to the ideals of the Sith, though not Sith themselves. Even they may not have any Force ability. But they believe in all the ideals and stuff that the Sith had.
Well, please, you got Nate. I'm not a fanboy, like I said. But please insert definition for me. Knights of Ren. What?
Knights of Ren in the Force Vision. You see, what's his name?
We're talking about the one that happened in the movie.
Yeah, Kylo Ren is standing there with like seven or eight other guys.
The rain
and everybody else is dead around them in the rain.
I gotta watch it again.
The Knights of Ren. He is the. Kylo Ren is the leader of what they call the Knights of Ren. That Ren is not his last name.
Right.
That's just like Darth for Sith characters. Darth is their Darth whatever. Darth Vader, Darth Sidious, Darth whatever.
Yeah.
Well, he, instead of the first, he took his surname is actually Ren from the Knights of Ren. So I'm sure everybody else in it is like Kylo Ren, Bobby Ren, Jimmy Bobby Ren.
Ronnie Ren, Bobby Ren, Ren, Mickey Ren.
There's
Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, Mike Ren.
What did you have, Carrington?
You said the Sith are gone.
Yes.
There are some theories out there that say that that's not true.
But that counteracts the actual canon. Because everybody knows Luke actually brought balance to the Force. Mm-hmm. And they did that by destroying the Sith.
No, but see, in order to have balance, you have to have dark to have the light.
No, the way it was always explained was the Force is in balance when the dark side is totally basically crushed. That's not our version of balance, but that's the way, that's basically generally what they talked about. So with the Sith gone, the Force is in balance.
And there was technically no Jedi left.
Yeah.
So then...
The theory that I have heard is that Snoke may not be Darth Plagueis.
Or may be.
May or may not be.
Yeah, may or may not
be. Might be.
He does look like a Mun. He looks like a Mun with a giant canyon through his head.
He looks like he'd been beat up in a fight. He's like,
yeah. Well, another theory that goes along with that one that actually brings in the fact that the Sith are gone would be, what if Kylo Ren went back to Moroban? Or which way did they call it in Clone Wars? Korriban or Moriban? Do you remember?
The
original version was Korriban, right?
Yeah.
So it's Moriban is the actual canon version of it now.
Okay.
But it's the Sith homeworld, where because eons ago the Sith was actually a race, an actual race of people, and they came from this planet. Eventually, it came down to what we know as the Sith, but because the race was totally gone, but The planet Korriban or Moroban, wherever it is, was the ancient homeworld of the Sith. That's where, like, when the Sith masters or the Sith lords would die, they would take them there to be buried. There's all kinds of tombs and stuff supposedly there. But the idea is, what if Kylo Ren or Ben Solo at that point had gone to Moroban and figured out a way to resurrect Plagueis?
That's
possible.
Because that looks like a mortal wound in his head.
Yeah, it does.
It doesn't look like something he would have. Yeah. It doesn't look like something he could have. So what if that's a mummy? Basically, the equivalent of a mummy in our world.
And the dark in what is now considered legends. I mean, dark lords were always coming back from the dead.
Oh, yeah,
true. It's kind of their M.O. Oh, you killed me, I'm dead.
But I'm not. Because in like episode 2 or 3 or whatever it was, when it was being told to Anakin Skywalker that he like Plagueis, what, I'm sorry,
yeah,
I'm
Darth Plagueis.
Plagueis, that he was able to stop people from dying. So, with that whole thing.
That's where that theory comes from also, that he may have somehow cheated death when Sidious killed him.
And the fact that he can create life.
Yeah.
As well, which is the whole...
The idea of where Anakin came from.
Right.
Yeah.
Here's another thing. And I'm just going to take it there. If you're able to create life... the creation of life is like a light side ability, you would think.
Well...
Even if you're using dark energy to do it.
But if you're using that life to manipulate the way the world works...
Right.
For manipulation to get you into more power... See, I think he was trying to create the being to control the balance of the Force.
Right. I was going to bring up a comic book reference here. Was that the brightest day in the darkest night in the Green Lantern?
Yeah.
The white light was good and they could bring back life when the dark one was death, but the people that were dead, he could bring back to life to manipulate them to do evil. so don't mean they still can't use light.
Good point.
Hey, did you see Star Wars The Force Awakens?
Yes, I did.
What'd you think about it?
Kylo Ren is awesome.
All right! Like we said, guys, if you're in the room with us, you're part of the show. Come on in, guys.
I mean, he's not like Darth Maul. Like, if they redid that for a scene with Darth Maul, he would destroy them all.
You think so?
Yes.
Hello.
Hello. I
feel like it's from the other, like, they're like different people are like from the other movie. Like Kylo Ren's the new Darth Vader. Rey is the new Luke Skywalker.
That's right.
Yeah.
Your mom wants a picture.
Well,
here you go.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
It's always good to see a new generation of Star Wars.
That's right.
I think that's the real takeaway for me for the new Star Wars movie is I really loved it, but this movie wasn't for me. It's for the new generation.
Yeah,
right.
Everyone in that theater was, not everyone, but a lot of the people in that theater were younger than I was.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's interesting? I went today, and I went to the Highland Theater in Akron, which was a very old, beat-up theater, and it was almost half full.
Mm-hmm.
But I guarantee half that crowd was over the age of 50.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how. When I went, there was just a mixture of everybody.
When a lot of us went, it was at the very beginning, and a lot of the older crowd's not going to go and sit all crammed in with it, but you're getting the older crowds going to see it now.
Yeah, here's something that Don said, and when you said that this movie was really for the newer generation, Don pointed out that really when you think about it, the older established characters that were there, really, you could have had other characters in those roles. The only older characters that were really necessary, when you think about it, at certain key points in the movie, were Han and Luke. Really, when you think about it,
yeah.
I mean, it was good to see like the evolution of, you know, what Leia became. She became general and that sort of. But I don't think she was necessary. And like, as an actress, I'm not a huge fan of Carrie Fisher. The way she is now, like, she shows no emotion on her face.
You didn't like her in the Blues Brothers?
She shows no emotion on her face. She's just hard to like in the movie.
I mean, in this one, I didn't care about her.
That's and, the military.
Yeah, but
too.
I don't think that matters. Like, I mean, she showed no... Even when she was hugging Rey and all that sort of thing, there was no emotion there.
There's a difference. When C-3PO kept saying, he said, Princess Leia, general. And I was like, yeah, this is not Princess Leia.
Right.
Princess Leia was a lot more like, not saying I hated her, but it was just like...
But see, I don't think...
You're there.
But
you're
like I said, I don't think she was necessary.
Yeah, that's
what I
felt like,
too. Necessary at all. I don't think...
The only thing she did was
necessary. He did do more... Well, he did do more in this episode, but he was still just a sidekick, and I don't think he was necessary.
But
who?
I mean,
Chewie. Oh, well, that's a, this was our was, Han Solo movie. This right. This movie was Han Solo centric.
Yeah.
Next movie is I think we're going to see a lot more of Leia because we're going to see a lot more of Luke. And at this point, they are brother and sister. They know this, and so it'll be more of a family dynamic. You'll have Han and, or Luke and Leia working back and forth off of each other. Right. Rey will find out whether or not she's actually related to the family. She may not be related to anybody.
She might not be.
That could be the big twist.
She,
not actually
I think
that's
what she may be like okay. Anakin. He was like an orphan almost, and he had he was really strong.
Yes.
See, and I think that, like, you know, like you said, this movie is really like for this kid here.
Yeah.
So that 30 years from now, when this thing is still going on, he's going to be sitting there talking to his friends, geeking out like we're geeking out over.
That's right.
Also, you know? There were some like theories about the movie before it came out. Like I watched this guy called The Game Theorist, and he came out with one. He thought that Luke Skywalker was actually going to be Kylo Ren because he
yeah,
was showing
a lot of people
like
said
arrogance
that.
In the end, towards the end of the other movies.
Yeah,
like how he had. At Jabba's palace, he's like, I will kill you.
Good point.
Yeah.
You know your stuff, kid.
See you later. Well, that actually, we're talking about Luke and stuff a little bit. Did anybody else? The only thing I loved every part of this movie, the only thing I thought was the movie went about 5 minutes too long.
They could have
the perfect ending.
That.
The perfect ending was the they had the Empire Strikes Back ending already.
Yeah.
Where the Rey and Chewie get in the Falcon and take off. Poof. You know where they're going. But we don't have to see where they went.
Yeah, Luke didn't have to be in the middle.
No, so
I got my Kung Fu movie ending. I don't care what you said. I got my Kung Fu movie ending.
I'm so glad they did that. Yeah. It's going to confuse fans more and have us more of anticipation. Because that's what it's doing to me. It's killing me up.
Yeah.
If they would have ended it like that, I'm like, well, where'd they go? Eh. Now Luke's there. Now I'm like, is that your dad?
Is he going to take the lightsaber?
Is he even knowing? Is he
climbing the mountain?
And for one, they looked at each other too long. Just, oh, here you go. Like, that was like a minute too long.
I was just looking at Luke. I was like, say something. Speak.
Wait. Mark Hamill, someone tweeted to him. It was yesterday or today or sometime in this past week. And asked him straight up, what did you think when you got the script and saw you have no lines? And he tweeted back, I was speechless.
Only Mark Hamill. Yes.
In the Joker's voice.
Well, as we got to wrap this up here in a couple minutes, guys, but Carrington, you had something else here.
I was just going to say, I know in the previous podcast it talked a lot about Captain Phasma.
Yes. Right.
I want to talk about Captain Phasma.
Okay, we'll talk about Captain Phasma.
Yeah. So if you everyone's seen the movie.
Yeah.
You watch it. Right. Captain Phasma's cool. She's awesome. She's got
silver
armor, which is awesome, which apparently I just read has some kind of special thing that's going on. I'll read that article later. But anyways, and then, like...
Is that
like,
how she survives a trash chute?
You don't know what happened there.
We'll come back to that. So she gets a blaster stuck in her face, and she's like, oh no, what am I going to do? I guess I better shut down the shields and do whatever you need me to do. And then, oh, do you guys have a trash compactor? Yeah, we do.
Easter egg.
Really disappointed. Really let down. Apparently there's a theory that she's supposed to kind of be the Boba Fett of this new generation. What do you think?
I heard that too about Boba Fett, but Boba Fett lasted more than one movie too.
Yeah.
And plus he had, to me, more of a... He had a better role anyway.
Well, he had about the same amount of screen time.
Yeah.
Okay. What is she?
She's human.
She's human.
Okay, she's human. She's captain of the stormtroopers.
Yeah.
Do you know the actress who plays her? Anything. They couldn't make it a droid.
Do you know the actress who plays her?
No,
Game of Thrones?
I did not watch Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay.
Well, I brought this up before.
Everyone talks about Game of Thrones.
A lot of people are saying that how Captain Phasma was one-upped by the guy who was fighting Finn on the planet. But did anybody else recognize where that weapon originally started from? I mentioned this before the show. Before I mentioned you guys, did anybody else see that weapon he was using, that stick, and actually see what it actually is?
I haven't gotten that far into Clone Wars, so...
Well, no, this was in the movie. It was in episode two.
Okay. The Magna
General Guard. Grievous was actually training with the Magna Guards.
You mean episode three?
No, it was two
General
and
Grievous?
Three.
No, it's
Grievous
three.
Was in two.
Grievous
what?
Was not in, Grievous two. Not in two at all.
Okay.
He didn't come in until the mid Clone Wars miniseries.
But still, he was... his soldiers that are personal soldiers were training him Count Dooku was training him how to use lightsabers.
Yeah, he was programmed.
So they designed these guards with weapons that could withstand lightsabers.
Right.
They're Magna Staffs, I think is what they actually call them. You played the game, so you'd know more.
They're
actually magnetic. They're designed to fight, and that is basically a shortened version, or like a nightstick version of that.
Version of that, because in that, if they hit you with it, they would burn your clothes.
I just consider it a mega taser. That's all I'm going with, mega taser. And
I know the dude walked up like, I'm like,
but I'm hoping we see more from Kylo Ren and Phasma, and I want him to have more of a connection.
That trooper makes sense, though. You got to think the whole time they're talking, the First Order was actually... They're trying to destroy the Jedi, right?
Right.
So why would they not be building weapons that could fight Jedi?
That's what you do.
This was a trooper who was trained to go hand-to-hand with a Jedi.
And you think they would have come up with better armor to withstand that kind of thing.
Well...
The
place that they were at, Chewie's girlfriend... Like I said, names are really rough with me.
Yeah.
What is that place they were at?
The planet... What was Mesmanata's world? Do you remember? I don't remember the name of the planet.
So that building, when they land
like
at
Smuggler's Cove,
and they're walking in there, all I wanted... The whole thing was just a conversation about who shot first. That's all I wanted. I wanted so bad, and it never happened.
Well, I heard blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, or any time, I just wanted to be like the 14 to 12 parsecs. I just wanted to hear me like, gosh, who shot? I wanted to.
What was that? That was
right after they said, Solo.
I wanted it, but I didn't get it.
Have you seen the Phineas and Ferb Star Wars special?
Uh-huh. Yes.
In the bar, they're taking, what's his name? Out on a stretcher. I heard he shot first, but someone else said. You know what? I'll tell you right now. I don't care. I do. And Ken's going to disagree with me on this. We've talked about this. I don't care what anybody says.
Han shot first. Makes for a better story. Makes for better character development.
Simple. I don't think it really matters either way.
Well, I mean,
honestly,
the results are the same.
Yeah, honestly, if Han shot first, if Greedo shot first, the point is that
Guido.
They're actually now they're both dead. So really,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh,
see, really not.
Really and good. On that note,
yeah.
Guys, thanks for Carrington. Thanks for having us on here. Real quick, just a real quick. Anything else left the before we wrap this up?
Come out to the Meeple. Come out, we'll hopefully see you on New Year's.
Okay. Nate, thank you for joining us. What do you got for us before we wrap this up tonight?
Nothing. I love you guys.
we love you too, Nate.
That's about it.
Okay.
You're official Geek Watch One peeps, so you know.
You're part of the family at this point.
Just, I hope it's not the same family that Luke and Leia were in before they found out.
We'll talk about that.
We'll keep you guys separate.
Cameron, Vernon, Bart, thank you guys for coming. Do you have anything else before we wrap this up?
I'll have more input when we get in February with Deadpool.
Cameron, next week you got to let us know what you thought of the movie, and even just real quick.
Yeah.
Because you zoned out for this whole thing because you've not seen
it
yet. Somehow he came
to us with the Star Wars talk.
Where are we?
You're back in the real world. We're not in a galaxy far away.
Yeah,
right. I have one last thing. We got an email after our last issue.
Holy moly, we got an email?
I know!
We got an email!
Superfan Dan Schneider, who listens to us every single week.
We love you, Dan!
Thank you, Dan!
So I hope you liked all the talk about The Force Awakens, because he said he couldn't wait for this show to find out, you know, what we thought about it and all the discussion and spoilers. But he did say that as far as Christmas movies go, he was disappointed that we forgot about the only big budget holiday superhero movie, Batman Returns. Now, the thing is, Kylan and I discussed this when we got his email. Batman Returns has a Christmas element, is set around Christmas. It's not a Christmas movie. It doesn't have Kylan's rules of Christmas movies.
If you read my blog about
seeking redemption.
If you read my blog about why Die Hard is the greatest Christmas movie ever, you understand, and not dare anybody to argue that point with me.
But he also said that Krampus was a terrible movie. So
what?
There you go.
No.
All I think of is Batman Parks and Rec, and I can't even force myself to watch it.
Well, if you made Trick or Treat and you made Krampus, you're good in my book. I don't know what
you're talking about. Well, I want to say, no matter what, Dan is our super fan.
Thank you, Dan. We love the input. And tell your friends about it.
That's right. He's the first unsolicited or unmade, because technically the other email we got from Clint, I kind of told him to send an email. So this is the first time that someone actually responded to us without me physically telling them personally.
Dan tells us all the time that he looks forward to the new issues because it gives him something to listen to when he's on his way to work.
Good.
So you know this is going to be a slightly longer issue. So
we're already at almost a minute 40 or an hour 40, so we're gonna be pushing almost 10 till 2 hours.
We'll be okay.
So that's fine. This is the people cast. We're gonna run a little over. That's why it works.
Yep.
That's why we're doing podcasts, because there is no time limit.
May all the geekness be forgotten.
Okay, well, we're gonna, as I get ready to wrap this up, Miss Vicky, did you have any final thoughts on Star Wars or what's going on?
I liked it. It just shows with all the questions that they brought up with this movie, it shows they actually did a good job. Because we're still talking about 2 weeks later.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. And it's still making money.
It's going to be making money.
They're printing their own money at this point.
That's right.
The fans are going to keep coming back year after year, because that's what's going to happen. Next 5 years, guys, we're getting Star Wars movies.
I'm really looking forward to Episode 8, Captain Phasma Returns.
That's the working title.
Yeah. That's right. Kylan, my friend, what do you have for me before I read the wrap-up? All
right, guys. Like I normally say, just say no, stay in school. Happy New Year. See you next year.
Okay, geeksters.
No, I figured out with Phasma what it was. The whole, like, what are jokes? Should we scare her?
Okay, geeksters. Now, remember, you can always find us at geekwatch1.com. Most of the stuff I read, you guys already know. If you were listening to us, you found us somewhere. But on GeekWatch1.com, what can you find there? Well, if you go to the sponsors link, Kylan, what's on the sponsors link at GeekWatch1.com?
On the sponsors link, you have sponsors. You have a link to Amazon,
What's Amazon?
Amazon is this little thing that we used to do all our shopping at Christmas, didn't we, kids?
And why is it awesome if they click through the Amazon link on our website before going to Amazon on their own?
If you use the link on geekwatch1.com and to go to amazon.com, we get a small percentage of the purchases that you made at amazon.com by going through geekwatch1.com.
And guys, you can get just about anything on amazon.com.
Oh, you can.
Yes, you can.
Trust me, you get anything. You get pencils. You can get shoes. You can even get paper.
Right. That rating, if you keep going, you'll find some stuff that you probably shouldn't say.
Whatever you do, don't think about the wildest thing you can find there, because you can, and then you might have to explain some things.
I'll be honest.
Well, also there are plenty of other sponsors on there, geeks with for T-shirts, for comic books, for geek toys. There's all kinds of sponsors on there. They're the same thing. Costs you no extra to go to buy it through our Amazon links. All it means is they give us a little love when you show them a little love.
It shows that you love America.
That's right. Also, on that link, you will find a link to our Patreon page. Now, our Patreon page, we're still waiting for that first patron, guys. Someone that says they love GeekWatch 1 enough to give us even $1 a month.
And that's $12 a year.
Don't make Bart have to do it to make us shut up about it.
I will. And I don't make enough to do that. It's a tax write-off.
No, it's really not.
I don't think it is.
Sorry.
Hey,
sorry,
I'm we'll not tell you that, but don't guarantee it. So, also, you can find all that at geekwatch1.com. Also, you can go to tell all your friends, if every one of you guys listening tells one person out there, gets them to go to iTunes, Stitcher, or Satchel Player to find GeekWatch 1, we'll double our listenership in one episode.
That's true.
Wait, does that mean you'll take another picture with your shirt off?
Yes. No.
I'll take the picture.
What?
Vern will
you're
going to
take a picture of me?
I volunteer to take
No, you're going
to
take a picture of you, right?
I can't with my no shirt off, so.
That's it. Now, if we get over 500 listens, then maybe for this issue.
I'll be the one to take the shirt off.
Shirtless outside.
Wait, hold on.
In Ohio in January.
Why? We remember out in shorts on Saturday.
Shirtless with a kilt.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, remember. I said that if they sold, if the hotel sold out.
That's what it was.
Oh, that's what it was. Then you were giving everyone the
size. Yeah, I was giving everyone, I didn't care how many people it took, I was going to give everyone a size up from a bald-headed black man.
That's right.
That's what it was. Okay. I remember now.
But also, guys,
full circle.
Go to iTunes and Stitcher. Find our feed on there and leave those 5-star reviews.
Please.
Now, if you love it, everything you hear on GeekWatch 1, let everybody else know. Leave a 5-star review. If you have problems and you have issues with us, with our issues, then send us an email. We'll take care. We'll answer you back and answer whatever questions and if we can.
I will reply in the nicest manner possible, or in a tone similar to how you send the email to us.
So if you got a problem, send us an email. Otherwise, leave those 5-star reviews. Say something like, "Hey, GeekWatch 1, the best geeky podcast on the internet." That's all it takes.
That's why I listen to this one and not the Nerdist. Did I say that? I apologize.
The more 5-star reviews we get, the easier it is for everybody else to find us. Also, you can find us on Facebook, Twitch, or Twitter.
Twitter.
Mr. Play Video Game.
That's stroke. Calm down.
Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Kylan and Ken. The email, if you have gripes or if you love us, anything you want, send us an email at kylanandken@gmail.com.
That's right.
You can also find us on the Tangibound and the Weeby Geeks Network. Now, for Nate and Vernon and Cameron and Bart and Carrington and Miss Vicky and Miss Dawn and Kylan and myself, just remember,
no matter where you go, there you are.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.